Today's episode of Jazzed is a special one. We're going to be remembering the coach, Coach Jerry Sloan, by someone who knew him extremely well, his daughter, Kathy Wood Sloan, is going to be joining me today. Kathy shares just some fun stories, what it was like growing up with Coach Sloan as a dad. Kathy played basketball herself in college and high school, and she shares a couple stories about what it's like for her to be coached by the legendary coach. Here we go. I'm really excited about our guest today. She and I have something in common. We both grew up with Coach Sloan. Although mine was a little bit different. I grew up with Coach on my TV, and Kathy, she actually grew up in the same household. Jerry Sloan's daughter, Kathy Wood, is as our guest today. Kathy, how are you?
I'm doing great, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Right off the bat, I just wanted to say on behalf of, you know, all Jazz fans, all basketball fans everywhere, our condolences to you, to your family. I know it's been, you know, a month or so since Coach passed away, but, you know, we all really, really loved him. Thank you for sharing your dad with us, letting him be our coach. And yeah, I hope you and your family are doing okay. But yeah, I just wanted to make sure you feel that love, and hopefully you did over the last few weeks from Jazz fans.
Definitely. Yeah, we certainly have. And thank you for your condolences. Much appreciated. And yeah, it's been a tough month, but you know, hearing all of the individual stories from people that we knew and people that we don't know, and how my dad touched their lives in a unique way has been really, really good for all of us to hear. So yeah, it's been okay.
You know, I saw, you know, some photos. It looked like, you know, the funeral service, it looked like, you know, it must have been a celebration, you know, of his life. And how was that for all of Jazz fans who weren't able to be there? How was that, you know, kind of celebrating his life?
Yeah, it was, this whole time has been really weird because obviously with COVID and stuff, we weren't able to have a large memorial service, you know, that maybe we would have liked to have done both in Utah and in Southern Illinois where he's from. So we just decided as a family that we would do a private event with a celebration of his life. And it was so cool. I mean, you know, a lot of his former players were there. A lot of his former coaches were there. And it was really touching to, you know, hearing the stories. And it was one thing that was really cool. So I have three boys, and they each went around to everybody that they met and said, "Hey, you know, tell me about your best story about my dad." And they heard some really cool things, and there was a lot of laughter, and, you know, it was really great. So,
yeah. And so I think, you know, I worked for the Jazz for 10 years, and it was kind of coinciding with just kind of the end of his career, coaching career. And so I got a few opportunities to, you know, chat with him and, you know, be around him. And, you know, for me as a kid growing up, a lifelong Jazz fan, just being in the same room. And I know this probably always sounds weird, you know, when you're speaking about somebody's dad to them. You know, just being in the same room with him was kind of just like, whoa, you know, like, of course he's on the same level as like John and Carl, but almost above. Coach Sloan was just like legendary guy. And one of the highlights of my career was the night he was honored, you know, with the banner in the rafters. And that, he had a press conference, you know, just for the media. I think it was before the game, and Jerry and John and Carl, I think Greg Miller, are all kind of up on the, you know, the table doing their press conference. And I just thought to myself, because I'm just a guy in the back with a video camera, and I thought, I cannot believe I'm in the room right now. Like, just being in that room is like, it can't be beat. It's just so cool.
That's so funny. Yeah, you know, I relate this story back to just his whole mantra of, you know, how to treat people, and that, you know, no matter who you're talking to, you know, a media guy, another player, an usher at the arena, you know, you treat them all the same. You treat them with respect. You look them in the eye and shake their hand, which he did every single game to every single usher that he came across going to the locker room. I mean, it was really cool. And in fact, two of the ushers that absolutely adored my mom and him came to his celebration, and I looked at them, and I don't live there, so I, you know, don't remember a lot, but I said, "You guys look really familiar." And they both said, "What if we had our green coats on?" And I was like, "Oh my gosh, that is so cool that you have that relationship with my dad, and, you know, you are ushers at the arena." And that kind of sums him up, just right there.
Yeah.
So
it's true. Like, mm-hmm. I always saw him in the tunnels, and this is after he, you know, retired. When he'd come to games, and he'd always smile, he'd always shake your hand, he'd always say hi, he'd look you in the eye. That's the thing I always remembered. And you could tell that it wasn't just, oh, I have to do this because I'm Jerry Sloan. He would legitimately go and talk to you. And I always remembered that. And it always made you kind of feel special.
That's awesome. Well, I'm glad that he touched you that way. And, you know, I wish I could say he was that nice when I was growing up, but that's a totally different story.
Well, maybe there's one or two of those stories. That's what I was thinking is, you know, I grew up with Coach Sloan on my TV, but what is it like for you? Now, I don't know how old you were when he began coaching or when he took over the Jazz. You know, what was that like in that time when he became the head coach of the Jazz for you?
Well, when he became the head coach, I was in college. I was playing basketball myself at the University of Evansville, which is where he graduated from, and he played also. So I was playing there, and you know, I went to a few games, but my schedule was so busy too that I didn't get to go to a ton. So, but I watched as many as I could on TV. Now, when he was a player with the Bulls, we went to every game at home. Even when I was little, I think I was probably maybe seven when he started. And, you know, my mom took us to every single game at home, and I had no interest in watching it because I was not into sports, and I basically sat on the floor and colored and didn't watch any of the game. So, it was two totally different times. And of course, you know, as I grew older and started working and stuff, I was able to get out there more and travel to see the Jazz. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, you playing basketball, and here you are, and you have this dad who's an NBA head coach. What was that relationship like as a player and as a dad and a coach? Because I know sometimes, you know, you don't want to cross that line and you don't want to be the coach and the dad. And did he ever coach you? Like, how was that relationship like when you played?
I actually did not pick up a basketball until I was a freshman in high school. They did not have organized girls basketball. I hate to say it. That shows how old I am, but they didn't have it. And when I first went to try out, I really didn't want to try out, but I did. And I had no clue what I was doing. I mean, they said, go do a zone offense. And I was like, I do not even know what you mean. So, but I found out I loved the sport when I was a freshman. And even though I was really bad, my dad was running summer camps for girls, which just started, and there weren't any for girls. So he started one of the first ones in Chicago, and I went, and I started liking it more and more. And, I worked my butt off, and I was able to earn, I don't know, probably over 100 Division I scholarships by the time I was a junior.
Oh, wow.
And, but you know, my dad never pushed us, you know, never. And he would only help us if we sought his help. And if you did seek his help, you better get ready to fight, because He treated us just like he did his players and wanted to develop that toughness. And there were a lot of bloody noses on our driveway with me and my dad and my brother, who played at Indiana and was Mr. Basketball of Illinois back in the day. And so it was, you know, it was rough. And you better be able to bring it, because he's going to make you cry. So, but he never really, you know, it's not like these helicopter parents today that, you know, push their kids and they want them to get a scholarship and they want them to go to the NBA or the NFL. He was the farthest thing from that. And I appreciated that, because I, you know, I look at these kids today and I have three boys myself, and just looking at parents who are screaming and yelling at their kids the whole game and then being really rude to them after the game and why didn't you play better and you should have done X, Y, and Z. And it's just so disheartening. So I was very fortunate.
Well, you talked about, you know, his toughness, and I wasn't around to see him play. I've seen obviously highlights and whatnot, but even as a coach, I don't think there was ever anybody, and I'm talking players, anybody who was ever tougher than Jerry on the court. There's, you see these highlights and these videos of, you know, how much he would stand up for his guys. And I think so much of that is why Jazz fans instantly gravitated towards him and just loved him. And, you know, you'd see, you know, John would get a hard foul and Jerry would just, he would just storm on the court and he was just ready to go and just ready to defend his guys. And I think so much of that toughness, he defined what the Utah Jazz are and are still are. And it's kind of amazing that we've, you know, 30, 40 years later, the Jazz identity is still Jerry Sloan's toughness.
Yeah. And that's, yeah, that's really cool. And the other thing too, is that he was tough. He was tough on his players, tough on the opposition, tough, obviously, on the referees. But he was super fair to everybody, you know, especially the players. And when I was at the celebration, I was talking to Carl a little bit about that. And that was one thing that he said right off the bat, is that he, it didn't matter if you were John, Carl, Jeff, or you were, you know, Brian Russell or Stephen Howard or whoever, you know, you were all treated the same. And, That was another good quality that he had, that he was extremely fair to everybody. So
One of the things that Jazz fans love also is just kind of his quotes. And I know, you know, growing up, you know, Southern Illinois, kind of a farm boy, you just say things maybe a little bit different than, you know, someone growing up in the city. So what comes to mind as far as, you know, what he might say to you as a dad? Like, what were some of his, like, lines that were Jerry lines in your mind?
Oh, there are so many. And I honestly, when he said stuff like that, I would just laugh and sort of ignore it. So I don't really remember. I know there's so many, and I'm sure my brother could probably recite all of them, because he does, but my memory is not that great when it comes to that. But the one thing that he always said to us, and this is from the time we were able to clean our own rooms, is that, you know, you get in there and clean that room and I don't want it half-assed. And I was like, what does that mean? Half my ass or half a horse's ass? Or what does that mean? So, but he used that term all the time. And there are so many. I just, you know, and it's funny because people, you know, when The Last Dance was out, people were like, oh, your dad had the funniest line. I'm like, well, it made him look like a dunce because people thought he really didn't know what the score was of the game. And I'm like, you have to understand his humor. Of course he knew what the score was. He just, you know, wanted to point that out to everybody. And yeah, so the people that don't know him are like, oh my gosh, that guy's so weird. But that's just him. He had a lot of funny things.
Dry sense of humor. One story that I've shared on this podcast before, and it might, and I've shared it because it might be the one time I got a, it was just me and him. So it was down, it was the 2014 Summer League. So he was already, you know, retired as a coach, but he was still as an advisor for the Jazz. So we were down in Vegas and he was just down there probably for a couple of days. And he was always the first one on the bus, right? To go to practice or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the day before was Dante Exum, who was a rookie at the time. It was his birthday, and with all the players sang and gave him a cake. Well, the next day, I'm coming on the bus, and I have a box. And in the box is just T-shirts that we're going to be giving away at the games. And I get on the bus, and it's just me and him. And I, you know, say hi, and of course he shakes my hand and everything. And he turns and looks back at me, and I'm like, oh, I think Coach Sloan wants to talk to me. And just with a straight face, he says, hey, is there a cake in that box? And I said, no, it's just shirts. And he's like, oh, well, I didn't get any of the cake yesterday, and I don't want to miss the next one. Just that straight face, and he kind of gives you that little grin, and then he just kind of turned around back in his seat and just looked forward, and I was just like, this guy is such, he's a gem.
Oh, my gosh. I know. His sayings were funny. They really were funny, but yeah, and sometimes when I was growing up, like, you didn't know if he was joking or if he wasn't. So a lot of times we just sat stone-faced until he would laugh and, like, pat you on the shoulder. Like, it's okay. I was not joking. I was joking. So, yeah, that's funny that you say that.
I know that you were in college and, you know, you were an adult by the time he was coaching the Jazz. So you were living your own life and, you know, having a family of your own. But I'm sure you still follow the games, obviously, and what comes to mind, you know, maybe it's most, for most people, it's the shot when Stockton made the shot and, you know, everybody goes nuts and celebrates. But what comes to mind is, like, your favorite memories of your dad specifically, kind of just coaching, and maybe there's some memories that we don't even think about.
No, I mean, for me, it was definitely John's shot. I mean, I remember because I was pregnant with my oldest, and we were watching it on TV, actually, from Indianapolis. And I just remember, you know, when he had that shot, my husband and I were jumping all over the place, obviously, too. But watching the joy in his face and hugging Carl, that right there summed up his basketball life. Like, right then and there, that was as close as he got to being a world champion. You know what I mean? And that, you know, I know that has, you know, had worn on him for a long time. And obviously, you know, losing the back-to-back was not fun. But for him, just being able to get over that hump and get to the finals was just remarkable. And it was so cool just to see him smiling, you know, because you've seen him. He doesn't smile a lot when he's over there. So this was huge. And, you know, just him hugging those guys and really knowing that they busted their butts. It was the best moment for me as his daughter, for sure. Well, and of course, him blowing a kiss to Dennis Rodman is always something that I will cherish too.
Oh, that video. I saw somebody actually I saw it yesterday. Somebody made that a shirt, and it's kind of like Jerry. It's like four little images, and it's first he's got his hand over his mouth, and then the next one he's blowing the kiss, and they just kind of made this little, like, graphic meme almost on a T-shirt, and it's just perfect. That moment is awesome.
I've got to find that. My boys would love to have one of those. I've got to find out. See if you can find out where somebody has them.
Yeah, I'll find it for you.
I'll order a few. Awesome.
One thing I was wondering, you know, from your point of view, because obviously Jerry's known as the original Bull, and he played for the Bulls and even coached for the Bulls. And what was that finals like for you specifically? Because were you a Bulls fan? Obviously your dad is coaching the Jazz and coaching against the Bulls, but was it weird to have it as, like, his two teams and maybe even your two teams as, like, a fan? What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have call myself a fan when they were playing each other. Of course I was a fan growing up, but, you know, it was just a chance for him to play against Michael Jordan and hopefully win, and it was awesome. And I love the Jazz players. I mean, they're like our family, and I obviously wanted to see them win too and get them rings and whatnot, but yeah, it was different. It was very, very different. So I was hoping the Bulls would lose.
Yeah, so was I. I was 14 at the time, and I was in a depression for about 6 months after. Still kind of am.
Oh, gosh. I know. I was dropping when they played The Last Dance. I'm like, oh gosh, do we really have to go through this again? Oh my God.
In a way it's cool that we played the Bulls because that Jazz team will never be forgotten. But also it's ESPN and whoever else is just, they always want to play Michael Jordan highlights. So it's always just showing the dagger to our heart over and over forever. Mm-hmm. That moment, like I'll never be able to forget it. And it's hard.
Us neither. Yeah, it's hard. And I get into arguments with people all the time. Every time they talk about that, I'm like, he clearly pushed off on Brian. And oh no, he didn't. That's just the Michael rules or whatever. That's what he does. I'm like, well, he cheated, and you know, that's it. So, you know, as a player, I understand you do whatever you have to do to win and take the chance that, you know, they're not going to catch you. But yeah, that was that was rough.
So obviously most people in your life, you know, they know that you're Jerry Sloan's daughter, but when you meet someone and they find out that you're, you know, who your dad was, what typically do they say? Like what do you hear a lot from just kind of the average person who you meet and finds out that you're Jerry Sloan's daughter?
Yeah, well, that's funny because, like, one thing that my dad taught us was always to be humble. And so, you know, I don't think I ever offer the fact that he, you know, who he is and whatnot. It's funny because I have three sons, and when my oldest son was in high school, he went all through 4 years, and nobody knew on this team that his grandpa was Jerry Sloan.
Oh, wow.
They did not even know, because we don't talk about it, you know, and... but yeah, I mean, when they find out, it's either, you know, gosh, I remember him. And they would name off the top five or the starting five of the Bulls when he played. They knew everybody, all their names. But the one thing that they did say was that he was the toughest player I've ever seen. And, you know, obviously he pretty much was. But yeah, it's kind of cool that way.
Yeah, I bet. What, and I think you mentioned your, you know, the Jazz and Jazz players and former players are just part of your family now. What were those relationships like with Jerry and even your family with Jazz players specifically, whether it was during the season or off season or after he retired, you know, coming to see him? And what do you have anything that comes to mind with just kind of off the court and just being a family with Jazz players?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think my sister and I have a great relationship with John, and we've gone back and forth since the Olympics in 96 when we were all there, of course. And John would be doing something like an interview or something, and one of us would walk by and he would say just some derogatory comment about our shirt or, you know, hey, you know, did you even brush your hair today or something weird. And I remember, like, right after that, the Olympic team was in a parade at Disney World. And so we're sitting there on the side of the road watching the parade. And John comes by. He had the shortest shorts on that I've ever seen, even shorter than his game shorts. And I'm like, I just yell out, Shorty McShort Pants, what the hell are you wearing? And he's just, like, turned red and... I mean, he's brutal to my sister, but we love him to death. And I will say this. So John and Carl were so sweet to my dad, and they flew in on their jets a few days before my dad passed away to say goodbye. And, you know, what player does that with their coach? I mean, and they have been there. They've been for the last year going to the nursing home and, you know, just spending time with him. And I'm just awed by that, you know. So those two, you know, were just remarkable. And I will tell you this. So again, at the celebration, Greg Ostertag was there, and I went up and, you know, said hi, and he hugged me, and he was just a mess. I mean, he was crying, and you know, he just said, I just loved your dad. He was like a second father to me. And then we started talking again, and he broke down again. And I just grabbed his arm and I said, you know what? Just, he loved you to death. He may not have showed it, but he did. And my mom loved him to death too. And I think he felt that, but he was so sad. It was very touching for sure.
That's how I myself, and I think I can speak for Jazz fans, you know, obviously we knew of, you know, Coach's health, and in a way, you know, you kind of maybe think that it's coming, and but still when you find out, the morning when I found out, you know, it was really, really difficult. And here I am, just, you know, a kid from Utah, and I worked there and I got to meet him a few times, but in a weird way, and I don't want this to sound weird, but it's almost like a piece of yourself died. And I explained it to my wife. It's almost like a piece of my childhood or a piece of myself is just now gone. And that's how much he meant to, and I can only imagine, you know, being coached by him, and being that close to him, but it was really difficult. Just even for me, who's not in his family or whatever, just to kind of come to grips with it.
Well, that's really sweet. Cause we've heard that from, like I said, random people that we didn't know. And, you know, a lot of similar things to what you just said. And, you know, it was a rough year for him, and it was very rough for us too, because with the COVID, you know, I was supposed to go out there, in March, and the day before I was supposed to leave, they shut down everything, especially the nursing home. So I wasn't able to go there. Luckily we were able to get him out so he could die at home. And, that was such a blessing. Cause I just, you know, I feel for all those people that are in there who have nobody, and they have nobody to hold their hand when they're passing away. And it just breaks my heart. It really does. So it's been a rough year, but I'm so glad he's at peace, to be honest with you.
Yeah. A thing I'm interested in, and you know, when you mentioned he's an Olympic coach and he's in the Hall of Fame and you went to back-to-back finals and one of the winningest coaches of all time, as his daughter and as his family, like what are you guys most proud of when you think about all of those things that you can list off?
Obviously we're proud of his accomplishments and in his career. The thing I'm most proud of with him is that he was a marvelous human being. And what you see is what you get with him, and you know that. And he's going to tell you the truth. He's going to be polite. He's going to be loyal to you. And, you know, he was like that with everybody. And, you know, I tried to instill that with my kids. And I think they saw that when we were at the celebration, like, you know, how he acted just as a human being. And he would do anything for anybody. There's so many stories of him, like, he saw a little kid, a little toddler that had gotten out of his front lawn in Southern Illinois and running across the 2-lane road that people are going 60 miles an hour. And the kid got hit. And my dad immediately stopped the car and went over to try to help this kid. Luckily he had some scrapes, but he wasn't hurt. And, his mom was out there and she was bawling, and she's like, "Jerry, I can't thank you enough." And I mean, you know, he would do that for anybody. And there's so many stories like that where he's just, you know, lent a hand to somebody and helped them work. And you know, that's who he was.
Yeah, that's awesome. One thing, if you were to ask any Jazz fan, whether it's on Twitter or in person, what do they want to see happen in terms of Coach Sloan? How can we celebrate this man? And for years, it's been Jazz fans want a statue of Coach Sloan out in front of the arena. You know, there's a John and the Carl. Everybody, unanimously, every Jazz fan in the world wants that. First of all, do you have any insight? Like, do you think Coach Sloan, and I know he's so humble, he's probably like, that is probably the biggest waste of time ever. But now looking back, like, what do you think as his family, like, what would that mean to the Sloan family to have a statue of him?
Well, I think that would be super cool, but, you know, with all the statues being coming down, maybe they'll start tearing down John and Carl, and then they'll see my dad. I don't know, but, yeah, I mean, it would be cool. I mean, that, you know, it's not anything that's I mean, for our family, you know, it would be great for the Jazz fans, I think, more than us, because we have his memories, and that's the most important thing for us as a family. So, I mean, it'd be very, very cool to have that, obviously, and yeah. So, I do hope they do it for the fans.
Last thing I want to, you just mentioned, you know, memories. And I saw another social post. It might've been on your Twitter or Facebook about how you kind of were going through some of his old things and you found like an old Bulls, warm-up jacket.
Oh,
and
yeah.
What kind of things were you finding that you maybe didn't even know existed?
Oh gosh. Well, if your listeners don't know that my mom and dad were, junkers, and they were antique dealers, and that was their hobby, and they've been doing that since I was a little kid. And so during this whole time, they have collected anything and everything, and they were smart. They knew what they were collecting, and they knew what the worth is of the things that they had. But they had 4 barnfuls, and I'm not just talking like a red shed. It was like 4 barnfuls of stuff. And luckily, before my dad passed, they were able to get rid of, I think, like 3.5 of those barns. But when we went to the house, it was eye-opening what we would see. Like, we found his Bulls ring in there. We found his Olympic ring. And we found, oh my gosh, we found Jerry Sloan bobbleheads by the case. We found those warm-ups were probably the coolest thing that we found. And we found his jersey from his high school all-star game.
Wow.
That was in pristine shape. I mean, it was unbelievably cool. And the Bulls jerseys look like he had just put them on yesterday. My boys are wearing them around. My son, my youngest son, we found his Schick Legends shorts, and my son's been wearing those every day for the last week. They're really short, but yeah, they've just loved finding that stuff. And we found so many things that were really cool, and we still got to go back and go through it all again. So it'll be fun.
Well, I'd love to see a picture of that high school jersey. If you still have it, you should share that.
Well,
that would be fun to see.
I know I would, but I actually, there were a bunch of things from his high school, which was in McLeansboro, where his house is. And I put them all in a suitcase and I donated them to the high school.
Oh, wow.
So,
that's cool.
They named a gymnasium after him last year. And I thought it would be kind of cool to have that stuff, you know, as people walked in and
totally
and whatnot. So I donated it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. I just need to go to his gym then and see it myself.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. But I do want to say that the Jazz fans are the best fans in the NBA, hands down. I mean, I've been to a lot of NBA games and watched a lot, and our fans have always been just tremendous. And we can't thank you enough for all the outpouring of love and support, you know, on social media, everywhere, sending messages and all the cards and stuff, and all the donations to the Parkinson's. Michael J. Fox Parkinson's Foundation has been phenomenal. And that's kind of what I would really like to leave this interview saying to everybody. So thank you again.
Well, thank you, Kathy, for taking the time and, you know, sharing some personal stories with us Jazz fans about Coach Sloan and Jerry, as we all like to call him. And, you know, he's beloved, and I think we're just lucky and we're happy that we had him as our coach. And it's fun to just think about his memories and all of those glory years. It was a great time to be a Jazz fan.
Oh, well, I really appreciate you having me on. And again, thank you to everybody out there.
Thanks again to Kathy for taking the time to share some stories with me and with Jazz fans about our coach. We're lucky that we were able to be Jazz fans during his time as coach. Thanks again to everybody for listening. And Jazz basketball is coming back soon with the playoff tournament coming up in July. So We'll be ramping it up, getting some more episodes of Jazzed out there. So in the meantime, hopefully everybody is staying safe and healthy. Go Jazz.